it's hard. Like when you think you're going to be a mom and that's your purpose, and in honesty, it's partially like all I've ever wanted is to have a family. And people probably wouldn't think that when they see me because I'm all here, I'm there, I'm everywhere, I'm busy, I'm like career girl. But that's like not the case. Like, and I want to be really open and honest about that because.
Welcome to Inclusive Career Conversations, the go-to podcast for HR leaders, talent acquisition specialists, and D&I champions. I'm your host, Zoe Hayden-Jones, and each episode we'll dive deep with thought leaders and trailblazers, uncovering actionable insights that empower you to create a more inclusive environment for everyone. I'm so glad you're here. Let's do this. So welcome to another episode. I'm very excited to welcome my guest this week. We have Yasmin Donato, who is the head of Technology Academy at KPMG. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
It's so good to see you. And we connected so long ago, didn't we? It feels forever ago.
We did. It was crazy, wasn't it? Because I remember it must have been a couple of years ago now. And then obviously we were up for the same award this year. I thought you had that, to be honest.
Honestly, you looked amazing that night, by the way. I was the work that you have done and continue to do, you definitely deserve to win that award. But how amazing to be in the same category.
It was lovely. It was really nice. And obviously, I know we bump into each other quite a lot at the gym, which is nice as well. So it's just more, I guess, the more that we've connected, the more that we've, I guess, you know, found similarities in the things that, you know, we like to do in and outside of work. So yeah, it was really lovely to be in the same category. And everyone looked really lovely that night. It was such a privilege to win that award. You never go into these things thinking that you're going to win, but I was so shocked. I was really shocked, but yeah, it was great.
Well, it's well deserved, and we will talk about some of the amazing work that you're doing and just your title alone. Let's start right at the beginning, because we're here for a special reason. We've got a very special podcast episode lined up that I am so keen to get out there. It's something that Yaz and I feel really passionately about. But let's just set the scene a little bit. Talk to us about what you do at KPMG, because you are changing lives, which I love. That's what we're about at Jobs for Women. Talk to us about your role, how you got into it, just to set the scene a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm currently the head of Technology Academy at KPMG. I've been at KPMG for just over 2.5 years now. So my role, I'm responsible for our early talent technology pathways nationally. And also recently we have launched KPMG Curve. So KPMG Curve is our newest tech venture and proposition. And we are located in Leeds. And one of, I guess, the main reasons for launching in Leeds is because of the fabulous tech ecosystem we have, but also something that we really wanted to focus on with Curve is attracting a more diverse group of talent to come into the business from different backgrounds, different pathways. And I'm super passionate about making sure that everyone has access to a career in digital. Obviously, you'll know yourself, there are so many different routes into technology. You know, it's not exclusive. And I kind of see it as a bit of a personal responsibility and passion to make sure that, you know, we're giving those access to opportunities, whether it's for early talent, whether it's for returning mums, whether, you know, for anybody really. And sometimes I think that technology can be perceived to be a bit exclusive, but not all roles are coding, or there's lots of different opportunities for people to kind of, I guess, make their mark in the industry. And part of that, I guess, is, you know, coming from, I guess, a single parent background, you know, I'm a mixed race woman, you know, free school meals child. So all of those boxes that we have, I probably fall into a lot of them. And I think it's really important for me to utilize my platform to talk about things that need talking about, but also to sort of, I guess, showcase those opportunities for people who might not necessarily, you know, see somebody like them within, you know, this type of role, I guess.
Yeah, and that's so brilliant. I mean, we could unpack so much just from what you said. And you joined us for the Jobs for Women, Women in Tech webinar, and we talked a lot about those barriers. And although we are seeing a little bit of a shift, it's so important for, you know, I've looked at what Curve is and what you're doing, and it's so refreshing that we're actually saying, hey, you don't have to have a certain degree, you don't have to look a certain way, you don't have to have a whatever gender. And it's like, we get a lot of women come through the Jobs for Women community because we've got our free membership. And I've got to say, a lot are returning mums that maybe have lost their way a bit, their confidence is down. And a lot say, I'm just up for something different. So is that what you're looking for?
Exactly. So one of the things that's I guess really at the forefront of Curve is, I guess, that learning for a lifetime piece. So I'm very much of the opinion anyway that if you're not learning, you're not growing. It doesn't matter kind of what stage of your career that you're at, right? You should always be learning and developing. And what I think we are looking for in people that come and join us is not just, you know, not everybody can come in and kind of hit the ground running. We want people to sort of showcase that potential and think, actually, yeah, you've got the potential to be amazing. And like, we want to bring people in and I guess like grow our own, if that makes sense. And we do that across a lot of different, I guess, capabilities. But this is a really nice opportunity for us to focus on, you know, the region that, you know, we're really proud to be a part of, and you know, we've always done quite a lot in the ecosystem, but from a tech perspective, we know that Leeds is kind of really on the map, and with this, you know, an absolute plethora of amazing talent, I think that we can capitalize on, whether that's from the universities, whether that's from colleges, whether that's kind of from, you know, across the city. And a lot of the campaigns that we've done and the advertising that we've done are kind of in different parts of the city. And I want people to kind of stop and look at it and think, that's not what I expected. Like, maybe that is to me. And it's all kind of a bit about, you know, unlocking your potential, unlocking your power to do something. And obviously it was the Leeds Digital Festival a couple of weeks ago. And I'm also part of Wild, which is a social community initiative. Which focuses on getting diverse talent into technology. And we ran like a careers clinic, and that was something that we sponsored. And it was just great just to see how many people came in to sort of get that guidance. And we had a real mix of people there to sort of, I guess, coach them, and they had that session and it was free. And I think that's the kind of thing that I want us to be known for, as well as kind of, you know, cutting edge technology. But it's about how we develop our people, how we grow our people, you know, attraction, retention, development, they're the kind of key three things for me.
Yeah, and the pathway is so important, because if that path isn't clear, that's this hidden talent that is, you know, they're amazing and would be amazing in tech, can't really see a way. So it's so exciting to see that happen, and you are doing amazing things. And our podcast today, we're going to talk a lot about KPMG, but we're going to flip it on its head a little bit, because we are here today, the podcast is brought to you from KPMG, and we're talking all things baby loss awareness. So it's Baby Loss Awareness Week. I know you might be listening at a different time, but it's something Yaz and I had an off the pod chat, and we both have said, haven't we, how we cannot believe how it has touched so many women's lives in our lives that we didn't even know about. So talk to us, give us a little background. Why were you so keen to record this podcast and talk about it?
I think it's quite funny, actually, because my husband says to me, why do you always need to talk about stuff? And I'm like, because that's the way I am. He's like, you're always just so open about everything. And like, it's quite funny, really, because when I'm nearly 2 years sober as well, and like, one of the things that I did a couple of years ago was talk about that at a Female Voices dinner, and the amount of people that said to me, do you know what, I feel the same. And I just think, if you don't talk about stuff, then how are people going to know or to understand or to be able to relate? And this has been a very sort of recent experience for me, as you know. So around 6 weeks ago, I had a miscarriage. And again, there's so many different types of miscarriages that you wouldn't even know unless you were going through this experience. I was 10 weeks pregnant, and we'd been for a scan at 7 weeks, and we'd seen the heartbeat. And at that point, I think once you've sort of seen the heartbeat, you assume everything's okay, because normally it is. And I think pregnancy itself anyway is like a complete roller coaster, and everybody's experiences are different. So we went for a 10-week scan because I was just a bit anxious anyway, and I wanted to make sure everything was okay, completely natural. And we were at a clinic that we didn't normally go to. It's a private clinic. And walked in, and I don't know, I felt a bit off, and I didn't know why. And it's, you know, you've got that thing, you know, mother's intuition and you know stuff. But actually, I did feel a little bit worried. And, you know, on reflection, if you think back, I didn't have anything to worry about because we'd seen the heartbeat. But I think every scan you go to, right, is going to be nerve-wracking, because that's the roller coaster of pregnancy. And so we went in, and the sonographer started to scan me, and they couldn't see anything. So then I had to go and use the toilet and come back, and they had to scan me another way. So that was already, it kind of made me feel a little bit nervous. And she said, I'm not going to talk for a few minutes, which is obviously normal for procedure. And then she kind of started to look around, and also it was really uncomfortable, which didn't really help. She wasn't that gentle. And I've had a lot of these internal scans, so I know what's gentle and what isn't. And I think that's important to mention as well, because if something is uncomfortable and it doesn't feel how it usually does, then you should absolutely say so. I think I was just so nervous, and I just wanted to see our baby, that I was just like, I just want to get on with it. And she was really silent, and then she went, oh, right, ovary. And I was thinking, oh, she's not said baby. And I'm like, but what about baby? And she was like, oh, I'll get to you in a minute. And I was thinking, it's a little bit strange. Looked at my husband looks at me, we're like, what's going on? And then she just turned around and she went, I'm sorry, there's no heartbeat. And I was just like, still sat there with the wand in me. I was just like, what? Like, you never expect it to be you. You never expect to hear those words. And I was just, I can't even describe how I felt. I was shell-shocked. I just looked at my husband. He started crying. I started crying. And it was just, the way that it was delivered felt to me like that person had no empathy. And I think in that type of role, you really should. And I felt really very traumatized by it, actually. Like, even thinking about it now and reflecting on it, it's just, oh, just it makes my heart hurt. And I was just thinking, how could this have happened? And, you know, I saw the heartbeat a few weeks ago, and I just couldn't believe it. I was supposed to be, it was bank holiday weekend in August, so we both had plans that weekend. I was going home to tell my grandparents, and, you know, it was meant to be really exciting. My husband was supposed to be going away, and all I just said to him was like, please don't leave me. And obviously he wasn't going to, but I was like, please don't leave me. And then you just like, well, what happens? Like, I don't know what happens next. Like, what's the next step of the process? And like, I just couldn't even comprehend what was going on. The worst part of it was, so you basically, how she'd identified it was a miscarriage. And what one of those is when you don't have any symptoms and your body hasn't recognised that it's no longer pregnant. I had no symptoms. I hadn't bled, like nothing. So that's, it makes it even more shocking because you're not expecting it. And obviously then you have to, I guess, go through that next stage of the process. You have to be referred to hospital. And I was just like, well, am I just supposed to sit all weekend and wait for this appointment with, you know, my unborn child inside of me that's passed away? It's like, it's just, honestly, it's heart-wrenching. And, you know, but then it's the whole process of having to tell our parents, and, you know, the guilt that came with having upsetting people. And that's a really strange thing to say, but we both felt really guilty. And it was just, and then having to make decisions of what you choose to do next. And none of those decisions are very nice, as you might know yourself. But luckily, I had a lot of people around me that when I'd told them, they'd also been through this. So other women, my sister-in-law put me in touch with one of her friends who had kind of been through a couple of miscarriages, and she was kind of giving me advice. And, you know, I think the one thing about it that I found was that it was, and it doesn't make any difference, is that it's just much more common than you think it is, and that makes absolutely no difference at the time. And I think the other thing that people forget about is your partner or your husband and how they feel, because, you know, you're going through that physical side of it, which is horrendous, and you're having to kind of process it that way, as well as the emotional toll it takes on you. And so it was really weird. So that weekend, the first thing I thought about was, so we were about to launch Curve within the next couple of weeks, and I was like, we've got so much to do, I can't really afford to have this time off. And you know, it's, I was like, right, I went into this really weird frame of mind, which I think just probably happen as part of grief. And I remember it from when I lost my dad. Like, I went into this kind of organizational mode, like, I need to do things. So I was like, I need to send a couple of emails just to let people know that I won't be in, because I didn't want to, I guess, have that sort of clouding me, I guess, really. I sent some emails out letting people know I'd be out for the week, because that kind of enabled me to, I guess, start fully processing what was going to happen from a physical perspective. You know, I'm very close friends with one of our partners. He's a close friend of mine, and him and his wife were fantastic through the whole period. I've got a couple of close friends at work who had also been through that experience, and like, they just really allowed me to lean on them during that period. But I did take the week. And obviously, like, it's not just emotionally, it's like the physical toll that you're having to go through as well. And I think at one point I was just like, I feel like, because of the person that I portray on the outside, and that is the person who I am, I just get up, I get on with stuff, I'm strong, I'm pretty resilient, like, tough cookie, that type of sort of thing. But I felt that, and that because of that, people expected me to bounce back, because I always do, always. But the reality is, you've suffered the loss of a child, like, your body has been through insurmountable trauma, and all of a sudden you're just like, well, I just can't carry on like this, I've got to move, I've got to stand up, I've got to get on. But there was a point where I just thought, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel okay again.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for sharing your story. You are so open, and you will never realize, just by sharing your story, how many people you're going to help. Because before we hit record, and we've talked a lot, I've shared on the podcast before, and even in talks, that I've had a miscarriage. And I remember I shared with you, didn't I, that a man in the audience came up to me and said, I cannot believe you are being so open. Like, men aren't this open. And I said to him, but without having, just like you said, this honest, frank conversation about what's really going on, we're not going to be able to support others going through it. And we are going to link back. We've already mentioned how you contacted your managers at work. And we really want this podcast to be about creating change, don't we? To have supportive workplaces, because you've already mentioned that it's more common than you think. Before I had a miscarriage, I couldn't believe the statistics. And then I couldn't believe that there was no support. This, I mean, for me, it was 10 years ago working in corporate in London. And there was no support really apart from line manager. So I know you've talked about, you went into that default mode of do. Did you feel comfortable telling your manager?
I've got a really open relationship with my boss and like our team in general. He's always been super supportive, whether that's been in terms of like my career development or on this journey. He's also a partner within our business, and he always makes time and makes himself accessible. And I think the fact that he's taken the time to get to know me personally has really helped me to feel comfortable to have tough conversations with him. He was so pleased when I told him that I was pregnant, which I was really worried about, and I don't really know why, because I knew that he would be. And so I basically messaged him when it happened. I texted him actually, and the first thing he said to me was, don't worry about work, there's no pressures from this side, take the time that you need. But like I said, I went into this really weird mode of needing to be organized, and I sent out those emails and I told him I was doing that, and he was like, well, you didn't need to do that, but you know, you do you, and do whatever makes you feel, you know, better, I guess, or do what you need to do in order to process what you're going through. Even when I came back to work, he was like, are you sure you should be back? It's, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, you need to tell me if, you know, if you don't feel okay. But I guess that's the balance that you have to strike, isn't it? You have to understand what's right for you, because everybody is very different. And in that first week, I think like the biggest challenge is around, like, I felt like I'd really lost myself a little bit after that happened. Like I said to you, there was a few points after it happened I thought that I'd never recover, and I don't normally think like that. I can normally see the positive in a lot of things. There's always worse things happening, right? That's kind of how I choose to see things. But I was so incredibly low. Like, I didn't know how I was going to pick myself up. I felt so ill as well. And I think pretty much, honestly, I think I just sat in my PJs all week, because, well, what else can you do when your body is going through that process? I didn't even think I'd be able to stop crying, and never mind go back to work. I felt like I didn't know who I was. I felt like a failure. I couldn't keep my baby safe. I couldn't stop looking at my scan pictures and crying. You know, and I was really grappling with my emotions daily. Like, of course it felt like there was babies everywhere. Like, I couldn't go to my sister-in-law's baby shower, and I felt guilty about that, because I just thought I couldn't cope. It was too soon, you know. I didn't know if one day to the next that I'd be okay or not. Like, it got to, like, I actually avoided certain gym classes because I knew that there would be more pregnant people or babies. And I did not have the bandwidth to contend with it. Like, going back to work and then managing actual life and processing and moving forward, all while seamlessly trying to come back to work, and all of those feelings that you feel, like, well, why them, and, you know, and not me, why am I, mm-hmm. Why me? And I think people need to know that that is really normal, and it stays with you for a really long time.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing, because there's so many people listening that'll be like, yes, it isn't like a magic wand. And I've shared with you, haven't I, that I ended up having counseling through the Miscarriage Association, because for me, once I'd got over the physical symptoms, the mental and emotional carried on longer than I thought, because obviously there's no manual. And I think the issue in workplaces is that, like, 10 years ago, when it was, you know, when I went through it, where I worked, there wasn't like a support network or anything. It was kind of like my manager was like, okay, you're back, let's crack on. What was specifically at KPMG that you thought, right, this needs to be in other organizations? Was it just the helpful line, your amazing line manager, or what else was there to support you?
No, I mean, I don't necessarily, obviously, having a really supportive line manager and supportive team in general. I mean, there was one point that my house just looked like a florist, because the team had flowers, like our friends, like, it was just, I felt so loved in general. And that's such an important thing during that period. Like, I didn't feel scared to go back to work, but when I did, I went back to work virtually, because I was obviously still balancing those physical elements of the miscarriage. And then I went face to face the following week. But in that kind of first week where I was off, I thought, I'm just going to like log on and check things, you know. And just for those 2 hours, I felt better. I felt normal. Like, you know, actually there was still a bit of a purpose for me, because it's hard. Like, when you think you're going to be a mom and that's your purpose, and in honesty, it's partially like, all I've ever wanted is to have a family. And people probably wouldn't think that when they see me, because I'm all here, I'm there, I'm everywhere, I'm busy, I'm like career girl, But that's like not the case. Like, and I want to be really open and honest about that, because even as a woman in a senior role, you can still want all of those things and you can still have those things and you should. And I didn't ever feel at work like that was out of the question for me. So we have a families network at work. And when I sort of, I guess, mentioned what had happened, because I was really, really, you know, open. And I think the compassion and support that I was shown, not only by my leadership team, but the wider team of people around me, was just, you know, incredible. Like, there was never any pressure for me to come back, you know. And I guess, you know, I'm not really the type of person that can sit around too much, you know, although I will say that the physical elements of miscarriage really forced me to, and you should also honour that as part of your body. But even in that first week back and beyond, like I said, my boss has said, you just must tell me if things get too much. And there's been such a wraparound support from everyone in the business who knows, and I just feel so well looked after. And having that families network, which has a stream on loss, which I was offered to be put in touch with straight away, as well as my performance leader offering to put me in touch with other people that had the same experiences as me, which I thought was, you know, I thought was really, really great. And I think, you know, I'm quite an open book anyway. And I think one of the things that I found super challenging going back to work was people saying, did you have a nice week off? And I was just like, oh, like, it's not their fault. Like, they don't know. And I just couldn't handle it. And I made the decision really early on to be open with people I was working closely with and tell them what had happened, because first of all, I think it's important to highlight these issues and set a good example. And secondly, it's nothing to be ashamed of. And I wanted people to know, like, I wanted people to know, like, that was my baby, and, you know, he or she was mine for a bit, and this happened to me, and, like, it's okay to talk about it. And, you know, if one in three pregnancies end in miscarriage, right, how many people are going through this right now around you in your business that you don't know about? So many people are affected. Like, it's just like when we were talking about before, when we were off pod, about somebody who was in a meeting and they went and miscarried in the toilet and then came back to work. Like, how much of that happens that we don't know about?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's scary, isn't it? So traumatic. And to your point earlier, there are different types of miscarriage, because I had an earlier miscarriage, but we'd had a scan. So I'd had the scan, could see, went back to tell my family, and it happened. So it wasn't missed, but that was traumatic in a different kind of way. And I think it's really important to acknowledge, you know, the time variance, and it doesn't mean that you're more connected to your baby or it's going to be, but I think workplaces need to be really aware of that women are going through it in different ways, and it could be happening on the premises at work.
And I think the other thing is as well, one of the things that I am really thankful for, like, I work with a lot of males, you know, predominantly, you know, and I just, the amount of care and consideration and support that I've been shown has just been incredible. I feel so lucky to have such a great team around me. And, you know, and I think there is something to be said about that, because I don't want there to be a perception that it's like that for every woman in the workplace, because it hasn't been like that for me. If I turn around to my boss and said, I feel terrible, like, this is happening, that's happening, be like, okay, just take the time that you need. And we need more people like him, I think. We need more people like, you know, the people that I'm surrounded with. And that's not always easy, because I think sometimes that's just being a leader, right? And that's also being a good person inherently, and understanding and being empathetic to the people that are around you. And, you know, also I think it helps when other people have families, because they think, you know, that's the loss of a child, essentially. So they can kind of not relate, but if they've got families, then, you know, they'll know it's probably one of the worst things that can, you know, possibly happen.
What advice would you give to a woman listening that doesn't have the line manager that you have?
I think leaning on those around you, and I think trying to be as open as possible with people. Like I said earlier, like, you know, my husband's like, you're so open, like you talk about everything. And I'm like, well, but if I can do that and it helps one person that listens to this and thinks I can go and do this, or I can handle it like this, then that's enough for me. Because I feel like the amount of support that I had from people around me, I want to kind of give that back to somebody one day when I'm feeling in the right space to do so, which is why it was so important for me to do this. I think a lot of the external resources that I've relied on, so Tommy's are fantastic in terms of kind of laying out exactly what different types of miscarriages are. There's a really good forum on to what to expect when you're expecting, because I think one of the things that you don't know about is what actually happens physically and how that is for you. And some people can be, it's really scary. Like, your body isn't your own. You feel so out of control of everything. And it's like, you just want to feel that comfort and know that, you know, it's happened to other people too. And this is, you know, this is what might kind of happen in the next steps. The Miscarriage Association, again, another wonderful resource for kind of going through everything. It's like, you just want to kind of validate it for yourself. And also see if there are any networks, I guess, in your workplace that, you know, I would assume that most workplaces do have those kind of networks. Counselling, I think, is another, you know, another helpful thing. And also speak to our doctors were really helpful. So I think that's another way that you can kind of access those resources. But you'd be very surprised at how being so open will kind of help you. But not everybody wants to be. And I think there's a lot of shame and stigma attached to miscarriage and baby loss when actually it's anything but.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the sort of messages for Baby Loss Awareness Week is all about breaking the silence and talking about it, so that bereaved couples, or if you're doing it by yourself, get the support that they need. And another thing, when we're just thinking about work, which is coming up a lot at Jobs for Women, is that the policies that companies have in place need to be sort of talked about at an early stage, so you might join an organization in your early 20s, you might stay there, you might never be thinking about parental leave and policies, and you might not think about if they've got a fertility policy. But yeah, if you are communicating that early doors and layering it, so that if a woman gets to that point in her career, she knows what help is out there. I suppose when we don't have that information, we're just kind of like going through all the physical symptoms and then trying to navigate how to deal with work.
I think it's about asking those questions, right? When you join an organisation, I don't think you should be afraid to sort of ask if there's a maternity policy or ask if there's a fertility policy, both of which we do have and I know how to access if I need to. And I think obviously there's a lot of stigma attached to, oh, well, if I get pregnant, what does that mean for my career? And that's a whole separate conversation, right? But I think that's why women are so afraid to sort of ask for these things. And you should never be afraid to ask those questions so that you can get access to the resources that you need. It doesn't matter what age you are. I think when you go into an organisation and people, you know, you might think, oh, well, I'm of a certain age, so people might assume, like, you might not want a family. You might want a family. You know, you might have, you know, struggles achieving that family. Like, everybody's completely different, and I think it all has to be, like you say, accounted for, like with fertility policies and maternity policies. And every journey to a family is not linear now, right? And I think organizations need to, I guess, be more aware of that. And I guess that also, like, how people balance that when they come back to work. So how are you balancing, I guess, your health and your emotional well-being and work when you go back? Like, how do you do that? Everybody's different. And like I said, I went back to work virtually first, then I went back face to face, and it was also the launch of Curve on the Monday. We were coming up to the Leeds Digital Festival, and I was also asked to be on a panel for the Yorkshire Digital and Data Conference on the Tuesday. And I did think to myself at the time, what are you actually doing? Like, what are you doing? You're not even 2 weeks out of a miscarriage. What are you doing? But sometimes I kind of feel like throwing yourself in at the deep end is really important. And it's what I would normally do in any situation. So I thought, well, this is my way of coping. And Curve was something that I'd worked on since its inception, and I had to be there for it. I wanted to be there for it, no matter what anybody said. And it was a massive achievement for me. I wanted to feel that sense of like accomplishment. And yes, this is something that I did do regardless of what's happened, or in spite of it as well. And, you know, even though, you know, with the Yorkshire Digital and Data Conference, even though I speak in public all the time, you know, and I was on stage looking like I was fine, you know, there in my blue suit and looking lovely. And I'm actually not sure if I really was okay. And I got a lot of comments during that time from colleagues going, you're incredibly strong, like you're amazing. And, you know, how are you doing this and balancing that? And but it's really weird because you feel anything but, you know, I was back at the gym within a week, so physically very well recovered. And that always helps me mentally. And after a period of like my body just feeling like it wasn't my own, it was just something I could control, just like, you know, working away. And as I was chatting to you last week, you know, there isn't any right way to do things. And the last couple of weeks, you know, I've had to deal with like the first cycle after miscarriage. And just when you think it's all over, it rips you apart again. And it's not entirely dissimilar. And no one tells you, what did I say to you last week? No one told me this. How was I supposed to know? How are people supposed to know what's coming if we don't talk about it? So if I'm not talking about it and telling people, then how are we supposed to support people that are going through this? Like, half of me is like, well, if you don't go through it, you don't know. But actually, if we don't talk about it, then people don't know how to respond and don't know what to expect. And I kind of feel like I want people to know that, you know, it's not just 6 weeks out and then you're done. It stays with you for such a long time, both physically and mentally.
We need to not forget about partners in this process, because they're going through it as well. So my question is, how can we and organisations create like a foster a culture where we talk about this miscarriage, baby loss, for the partner, for the person going through it? How can we make it more open?
I do think it depends on you as a person, and obviously on where you are, because it's as much or as little as you like. So there's never been any pressure for me to talk about it, and there's never been any pressure for me not to talk about it, right? So it's kind of I've directed how I've wanted to handle those conversations. And to be honest, it's kind of felt quite cathartic in a way, whereas my husband, he went back to work that same week. And I don't think just because he wasn't going through a physical loss that was necessarily okay for him to do. That's not because they said he had to be there, that was his choice. But I do think there's an element of that well-being and care needs to extend to partners and to husbands, because, you know, I think that was his way of dealing with it at the time. Like, he needed that distraction. Also, he was kind of, you know, he was working at home and he was looking after me very well, I must add. And I lent on him a lot during that time because I had no other choice. And, you know, one of the things I will say, I can see why it has such an impact on people's relationships. I can see why people break up or get divorced. And, you know, it's a really stressful and challenging time when, you know, you want a family and you're both kind of on that page. I get it, I understand. Luckily, you know, we are so incredibly strong in so many ways. Like, he's just been my rock. Like, I couldn't live without him. Obviously I adore him, obviously, but, you know, this going through this whole process has just created a new level of love and commitment. And just honestly, he was just unreal. And a few people I've spoken to said, you always say he's unreal. And I'm like, yeah, but that's how a relationship should be. And we'll get through it, and we are getting through it. And I think there has to be that mutual respect from organisations that it isn't just the woman or going through this. It's, you know, it's their partner, it's the husband. You know, they have to deal with sort of the aftermath of looking after people. They're dealing with the loss of their child as well, just because, you know, they were both of ours.
Yeah, it, of course.
It's not just me, but I think there's always a lot of focus on, you know, the person who's carrying the child, because, you know, they have to go through those physical elements.
Yeah, well, I applaud you, honestly. Like, you, I've said it earlier, but you just being open about this and us just having this conversation, I think if companies, you know, acknowledged that it's happening, having conversations like this, I would say to any HR people listening, or whether you run teams, have these conversations. I know that someone going through fertility treatment said to me that when someone in their organization shared something when it was about fertility, it was like, okay, this isn't just me. I'm not just going through it.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I think you have to kind of allow yourself to be open, but I also think organizations need to highlight it even more and just talk about things. And I'm hoping that over the next couple of weeks, as we sort of go into Baby Loss Awareness Week, that I will see more organizations sharing things and, you know, and supporting those people, because, like, whatever stage, you know, that you're at, a loss is a loss, whether it's, you know, there's all kinds of different losses. There's early, there's play, there's reams of other things, and no loss is invalid and your feelings aren't invalid. It doesn't make any difference when it was, you know, a loss is a loss at the end of the day, and, you know, you deserve to kind of mark that in whatever way you see fit, and, you know, your feelings are valid, like, however you're feeling, you know. And it's not normal, but it is normal, if that makes sense. Like, it doesn't feel normal. Like, I feel like inherently I've changed as a person, and there's something that I've carried with me, which I think is a really nice thing to focus on, is that every pregnancy changes your body, and the cells from your baby stay with you. So, like, that has altered me forever. And, like, the experience has altered me forever, and it's made me see things very differently, and it will change who I am as a person. And, you know, does it mean I wish it didn't happen? Of course. Like, I wish that, you know, I should be, what, 17, 18 weeks now, but I can't think like that. At the same time, I have to think, okay, well, you know, it's hard, because you don't want to say everything happens for a reason, because you look at the state of the world sometimes and you think that just can't be true. But you have to kind of remain hopeful that there's something else for you, that, you know, if it's not meant to be, then it wasn't going to be, right? So it's, and I don't want to get too philosophical, but you have to kind of hold on to hope, and you have to heal in the ways that you feel are right. For me, it's been going back to work, exercise, talking about things, getting a remembrance tattoo, you know, things like that, which I think you mark it in whatever way you feel right. Like, you know, some people go on holiday or, you know, go and get drunk. I draw on myself. So
do you know what, Yasmin? That is, it's such a beautiful way to end. I know you said you don't want to get too philosophical, but I think what you've just really portrayed there is, it's so individual, and how you deal with it is so personal. And so whoever, you know, if you're listening and you've been through it, I'll put all of the resources that we've talked about in the show notes. Know that there is support out there. And if people want to connect with you, Yaz, is that okay? And how can they do it?
Please do. They can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to sort of have a coffee and a chat with people, just like so many people have done for me. Like, if, you know, if people just want a private conversation, more than happy to do that. So please don't hesitate to reach out.
Oh, thank you. The power of connection. And I will put all the details of Curve in the show notes as well. Good luck with Curve.
Thank you. So exciting. And yeah, and thank you so much for having me on, you know, on to speak about this really sort of special topic. I really appreciate it.
And I appreciate you too for being so open and honest. And I can't wait to see the future for you and for Curve. Thank you for joining us. I really hope you enjoyed my podcast chat with Yasmin. I was so grateful for Yas to come on and share her really raw personal experiences. And like I said to her, she will help so many people in the process, women, employers, partners, because if we don't talk about it, like we said, then we're not going to help others and break this taboo. I know that when I went through it, I sort of shut people out and I didn't talk about it. And I ended up having counseling, which was absolutely fantastic. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. But I feel so passionately about this subject area. And you might have seen, if you follow me on LinkedIn, my last post on baby loss awareness has pretty much gone viral. It's reached over 500,000 people. And I think that is testament to the fact that so many women are experiencing this and so many people have shared their experience of miscarriage and agreed that we need to do more to support people going through baby loss. Don't forget, this podcast has been brought to you by KPMG Curve, the newest tech venture, and they're doing things a little differently. KPMG Curve is here to support their clients' biggest challenges and uncover even bigger opportunities. Curve is all about staying at the cutting edge of technology and swerving the mundane. As a fast-growing digital delivery service, they stay ahead of the curve by keeping up with ever-evolving tech practices, whether that's unlocking the power of AI, coding for the future of the planet, or everything in between. In a world where tech is always changing, so are KPMG Curve. KPMG Curve is based in Leeds, a city where innovators are and always have been. And their vision is to be the fastest growing digital delivery service for clients requiring onshore delivery and engineering expertise. They are currently recruiting for a range of technical roles in Leeds, and I highly recommend you check it out. We also have some of the vacancies posted on the Jobs for Women website, so don't forget to go and have a look. I think it's so interesting that women are coming to us in the Jobs for Women community wanting a change, wanting something different. It might be that they're at a stage in their life where they're just ready for something new. And we know that women are so fantastic and can put their hand to anything. So yeah, tech might have been male dominated in the past, but we are here to change it. So have a think. Maybe it's time to check out the jobs at KPMG Curve. I certainly have, and they look incredible. So that is it for another episode. I have been so happy to share this episode with you this week. Please do share it with someone you think may benefit from listening to Yaz's experience, because we are here to support you. And if you haven't already, don't forget to leave us a review. And if you're not in the members club, head over to community.jobsforwomen.co.uk/join. And I'll see you next week.